Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hillside Church podcast. My name is Brad, and I serve Hillside Church as the lead pastor. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you in this way. God has so much in store for you and for your life, and one of the ways God works in our lives is through the study of his word, like the message you're about to hear. Our prayer for you is that as you share in this message, if it's me preaching or if it's someone else, is that God's word would minister to your heart and life in a most powerful way. Thanks again for being part of our church family. God bless you. For this morning, what I want to chat with you about is a story that takes place in the life of Jesus. But the part of the story I want us to focus on today really isn't about Jesus. Jesus is a character in this story, but he's not the person I want us to focus on. We're not necessarily in the context of this story. Later on, we'll talk about some things that Jesus had to say about what takes place. But in the context of this story, Jesus, for us today, won't be the main character. The main character is a woman named Martha. And if you know the story of the Gospels, and if you don't, Mary and Martha were sisters, and they have a brother named Lazarus. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they become very close friends with Jesus. In fact, they become sort of like, maybe in your life, you have those friends who become family. Where maybe you weren't born as family, but over the course of time, you become like family. And Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were like that for Jesus. That they were friends, but they become so close that they're like family. And so in Luke chapter 10, we have this story where Jesus and his disciples are traveling. And they come to a place, or they come to Martha's house. And we read in verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they're traveling, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to them. She opens their home to her home to Jesus and his disciples. What an amazing gesture. Well, that's not a person. You're inviting 13 men into your house who've been walking all day in the desert in the Middle East. Like, hopefully they had some windows open. But what a generous offer. You know, Jesus and his friends are coming. Come to my house. I will open my house to you. I will open my house for you. I will do whatever it is to be a good host for you. We read in verse 39, Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. So Martha is hosting these people, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet listening to Jesus. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. There's a lot to do. You have 13 people over to your house. You don't just like, well, I'll put the kettle on. There's a lot to do, especially because it wasn't like 6 months before they arrived, they made plans to come. They just happened to show up, and Martha says, come to my house. And she's got a lot to do. So she's doing all of this. Her sister Mary is just sitting and talking with Jesus. We read, she came to him. That's Martha came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. Don't you care? We have the juxtaposition of these two women. One busy being the host. One who is doing everything that she can to make the house the way that it should be, to make their experience the way that it should be, to be a good host. And the other one sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to the Son of God. Now, it can be easy for us reading this story to say, Martha, you have Jesus in your living room. Sit down and listen to the man. Go sit. What, Martha, what are you doing? You have Jesus on your sofa. The coffee can wait. And we think, you have the gall to get upset at Mary? She's sitting with Jesus. But what Martha is doing here is actually something that's very much validated all throughout Scripture. The word the Bible will use to talk about it is the word hospitality. To be hospitable. And it really means to be a good host. To look after other people's needs. That when people enter into your life, you do what you can to meet their needs, to make them comfortable, to provide a space where they can be comfortable. For Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he writes, it's a huge deal. When he's writing to Timothy and to Titus about what it means to be a pastor, to be an elder, to be an effective leader in the church, for both of them, he highlights that you must be hospitable. When he's writing to the church in Rome about how to be good Christians, how do we be a good Christian? One of the things that Paul will write is that we're to pursue hospitality. That we are to make sure that this is a quality of who we are. That when people enter into our lives, we do what we can to make them comfortable. That we do what we can to be a good host in whatever the situation is. And we see Martha modeling that for us. She is doing exactly what the Bible has told her to do. She is being a good host. But there's something absolutely crucial that I want us to see here, because it's going to be kind of the main point for us. See, what becomes an issue in this story? What becomes the tension is not Martha being hospitable. But what creates the tension is the effect that Martha being hospitable has on Martha. Her work for Jesus, her busyness, was causing her perception to change. Her love for other people, her love for her sister. All we read is her saying, Jesus, my sister isn't helping. Tell her to help. But we can all relate to those words coming out of us, but the heart that sits behind them. Her heart that had been slowly taking these steps. I can't believe Mary's not helping me. I can't. Look at all these dishes. Look, I'm trying to get this. I'm trying to do this. And she's just sitting there. And I'm trying to. And she's still just. And she's still just sitting there. Until eventually it boils over. And Jesus, tell her to help me. You know, sometimes we've prayed those kind of prayers to God in our own lives. Jesus, I really need you to speak to Sam right now. And what I want you to tell him is, you know, Jesus, tell her to help me. And what we see is this overflow of her best efforts to be hospitable are beginning to take a toll on the way that she sees her sister, but they're also beginning to take a toll on the way she sees Jesus. When we read the words that she spoke to Jesus, she says, Lord, don't you care? Of course, the inference of that is that Jesus doesn't care. Martha's busyness is affecting her relationship with Jesus. And she works and struggles and fights to try and get everything done and get everything just how it needs to be. And her busyness is beginning to change her perception of Jesus. Jesus doesn't care about me. Jesus doesn't know what I'm doing. He doesn't see how I'm struggling. He just sits there doing nothing, talking to my sister. Meanwhile, I'm here slaving away for him and apparently for her, and yet they just sit there. How often can we relate to that? Where we're out here working so hard for someone, and it doesn't seem like they care. It doesn't seem like they appreciate it. And instead of an act of selflessness that was meant to draw our relationship closer together, instead of a bonding moment of connection as we sacrifice and work for someone else and it actually grows our relationship, instead it becomes a place of contention and anger and bitterness as our hard work goes seemingly unnoticed, unappreciated, and taken for granted. That I started out doing this because I love you, and by the time I'm done, I'm so mad at you because you're not seeing it. You're not appreciating it. I'm trying to do this for you, and it doesn't seem like you care. And I'm sure that there are some of us that can even identify with this in our relationship with Jesus, where we've come to a place where we've been working and doing and giving and sacrificing and living and trying to be everything that we can for the Lord. God, you told me that I need to go to church. So we got 2 feet of snow and I'm here at church. And God, you told me that I needed to do this. And so I did that. God, you said, try not to lie. So I'm doing my best not to lie. You told me not to covet. I'm doing my best not to covet. You told me to give money to the church. I'm giving money to the church. You told me to be nice to people. I'm trying to be nice to people, and you're doing all this stuff, and it just feels like Jesus is talking to your sister. That you're doing all of this stuff for God, and it feels like all God cares about is your sister. It's not you. And you're saying, God, where are you? Can't you see everything I'm doing? Talk to me. Or tell someone to help me. I'm doing everything. And we come to this place where it feels like Jesus is not knowing or not caring about the things that we're doing. And how tragic is that? That in the midst of working and doing for the Lord, rather than that being something that brings us closer into relationship with Him, it becomes a source of soreness and bitterness in our walk with the Lord. And this is what we see in Martha. Although her intentions were good, they ultimately end up eroding at her relationship with her sister and with Jesus. Now, unfortunately, the cares of our life can easily be written off as normal. It's just a part of life. Worry, fear, exhaustion, burnout. It's just something we all go through. It's just a part of life. And because we can talk about things like that, and because we think about things in those terms, they actually become difficult to distinguish and to remove, to deal with. Because it's just the way life is. And so if it's just the way life is, what do we do about that? Nothing. You just keep on living. It's often actually considered normal to have things to worry about. And in our culture, stress is often glorified. Busyness is seen as like an achievement. I work 16 hours a day. And that's not a bad thing. But when we start to think about it as the best thing, when we start to figure out and try to understand ourselves in light of who we are, what we do, and of course it's beneficial to be productive. But when our productivity begins to eat away at ourselves, when our productivity begins to eat away at our relationship with other people, when our productivity begins to eat away at our relationship with Jesus, something has to change. And as we walk through the weight of expectation, stress, and busyness, the weight of everything, eventually, as we are trying to do everything for everyone, we're trying to be everything for everyone, we're trying to do it all, the weight of that starts to come crashing down on us. That's what happened to Martha. She was trying to be everything for everyone and do everything for everyone. And at a certain point, it just starts to become too heavy. Being Martha and seeing Martha in us is not hard. It's a place where we all pretty much live from. Now, sometimes when we talk about this story, the takeaway that we can have in this story is you need to choose to be a Mary. You need to choose to put away the busyness and just come sit at the feet of Jesus. You need to choose to be Mary. But my friends, if only it was that simple. We cannot and we do not just choose to be Mary. Because the Martha things are very, very real. And they're very important. And they are literally everywhere. In every relationship, in every location, in every way. We can't just choose to be Mary. Laying down Martha and picking up Mary is not something that we choose. It's not something we do. It's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual battle. Martha's question to Jesus, "Don't you care?" gets to the heart of what we're talking about. Because it's not because Martha was busy that's the problem. It was the toll that it was taking on her. She was becoming and embodying the things that working for the Lord should drive away. The Bible will tell us, will tell you, that as we wait upon the Lord, we will rise up on wings like eagles. We will walk and not grow weary. We will run and not grow faint. That's what being in the presence of God should be. And here we have Martha in the very physical presence of God. And she's tired. She's faint. There's no rising on eagle's wings for her. She's exhausted, and she's becoming angry and bitter because she's working so hard in the presence of God, and nobody seems to notice, and nobody seems to care. And instead of it becoming this thing that allows for Martha to connect with Jesus through serving, it begins to tear down her heart. And this, my friends, is not what Jesus wants for us as we walk through our busy lives doing our busy things. And especially not as we serve and work for Jesus. But instead, in a different place in Scripture, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus will extend an invitation to us in the midst of our busyness. In the midst of the hectic, chaotic work-life environment in which we find ourselves, and he'll offer to make an exchange for us. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus will say this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Now, one of the most important things that I think that Jesus says in this verse, that he extends to us in this invitation, that he extends to us in this promise, is the very first word when he says, "Come." Because there are lots of things that Jesus could have said, but he said, "Come." Now, when we stop to focus on an individual word in Scripture, sometimes it's helpful to go back to the original languages, because sometimes translation issues, and the best English equivalent we have is this, but really what that word means is that. And so we want to take a moment just to do that here. The Greek word that's used here, the Greek word is doute. And it has a very special meaning. Because literally, in the original language, the word that we choose to translate come, it means come. There's no tricks. It means just come. And why that's a big deal is because of when Jesus invites us to come, who is it that he's inviting to come? He says, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, all of you who are busy and tired, all of you who are sick and tired of being sick and tired, all of you who are worn out, beat down, exhausted, and on the verge of giving up, in those moments, in those places, we're invited to come. Jesus doesn't say, pull yourself together and we'll talk. He doesn't say, go home, take a shower, get yourself cleaned up, put on a nice new shirt, we'll talk. He actually doesn't give us any instruction. He doesn't say to do anything. And here's probably the most important part. He doesn't even say to stop. He doesn't even say, all you who are weary and burdened, stop and come to me. He says, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, come to me. He doesn't say, tell us to stop worrying, stop being tired, stop carrying our burdens, and then come. He doesn't say stop. He just says, come. Because stopping isn't what's important. It's coming to Jesus that matters. Just quitting, just walking away isn't going to change things. It's Jesus. It's the presence of Jesus in our lives that changes things. So often, one of the things that we as people everywhere, this is true of me, and I know that it's true of you, I know that it's true of all of us, one of the great shortcomings we have as people in our relationship with God is that we tend to try and do for ourselves what only God can do for us. That we try to manufacture in our lives what we can only have God do. That we try with everything inside of us to be righteous, but only God makes us righteous. We try with everything we can inside of us, but what we need is we need Jesus to work through us. And so we can Martha our lives away, trying to get our lives to a place where we feel our lives are in a place that we can finally be merry. That I just need to keep going and going and going and going, and one day I'll be able to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus. But what Jesus tells us is while you're busy being Martha, come to me. And instead, just come and be in my presence. We need to stop stopping and just come. And when we come to him in the midst of our brokenness, our weakness, our weariness, with our burdens, our struggles, our cares, and our worries, God promises that he will give us rest, relief, refreshment. And when we come and embrace the presence of the Lord in the midst of everything, we find that everything we're struggling for, trying to achieve, and everything that work is supposed to bring us, when we come to Jesus, we discover that it's all there. In the presence of Jesus, that we discover purpose and meaning and provision, all the things that we think, I need this in my life so that I have these things, that when we choose to come to Jesus, they're there. Then Jesus will go on to say in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for my souls. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus is inviting you to share breakfast. That's not actually what he's saying. Anybody know what a yoke is? You were at the last service, so you know that. It's farming equipment. It's this big piece of wood that they would put over top of both of the oxen so that it would force them to work together. It would force them to spread the load. It would force so that one wasn't doing more than the other. It would force them to work together. What Jesus is telling you here, what Jesus is telling us here, what Jesus is telling me here is that you are going to have to live up to something. That whether you live for Jesus or you live for the world, it's going to require you to do something. There isn't a do-nothing option. Jesus doesn't say, come to me and I will never ask anything of you ever. He doesn't say, you can be busy with the world, or if you come to me, it'll be like a vacation for the rest of your life. I'll bring you drinks on the beach. I will make food for you. Your kids will never misbehave. It'll be perfect, and you'll never have to do anything. Now, which one do you choose? Jesus is saying, whichever path you choose, there's going to be things for you to do. But my way is different. Sunday school must be getting, when are you done? Almost. Jesus is saying, you've been carrying the yoke of this world. You're yoked with the way this world works. It's you, and it's the way that the world works. And it's forcing you into this certain mold, this certain way of doing things, expectations and responsibilities. And ultimately, it's giving you a weight that's crushing you. It's making you feel broken, weak, weary, and struggling. This yoke of personal responsibility that says that everything you are and everything you will be is decided and determined only by you. You are responsible for everything. Even your walk with God, you are responsible for that. You need to do more. You need to serve more. You need to be more. You need to give more. You need to evangelize more. You need to do that. And then if you're lucky, God will love you. Then if you're lucky, God will do things for you. You can live according to the patterns and influences of this world, even in your relationship with me, or you can choose another way. And Jesus will say, you can take on my yoke, and my yoke is going to help you walk in my ways. It's going to help you live in my kingdom. It's going to take all that responsibility that was crushing you, and if you choose to walk with me, you will discover a freedom and a rest like you cannot imagine. And if we take on the leading and direction of God in our lives, it's not that we have to do nothing. The oxen only wear the yoke when there's work to be done. And so when Jesus says you can wear my yoke, it's because he's saying there is work to be done. It's not a case of come and follow me and you'll never have to do anything. There's still a yoke to wear. But when we follow Jesus, in Jesus, through Jesus, something is different. The work is different. The yoke is different. Jesus will say this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus will say that the things that he has for us, that when we do our work in him, through him, by him, the work that he has for us doesn't mean that life is going to somehow just suddenly be different. It still may look like it looks like before. We may still be busy. We will still exist in this crazy, mixed up, chaotic world. But instead of the yoke that we wear when everything is up to us, where our power, our strength, and our determination that makes us or breaks us, it's God that we turn to. And something is different. Friends, there will be times when we still have to Martha. there will be, and there is work to be done. But it's not where we see all these negative emotions and negative repercussions on our lives and our walk with the Lord. And in fact, that can serve as a good reminder for us. Because the exchange of the yoke of this world for the yoke of Jesus, it's not a one-time thing. As we go through our lives, more often than we realize, we put down the yoke of Jesus and we re-pick up the yoke of the world. And as we're going through life, if I'm discovering that my busyness and my work and all the things that are going on are starting to have real negative effects on me, I need to stop and I need to recognize that somewhere along the way, and I maybe didn't even realize that I did it, I put down Jesus' yoke and picked up something else. I'm carrying a weight I never meant to carry. I don't know when I picked it up. I must have been going to the gym because I didn't even realize it at first. It was pretty good. But I'm carrying a weight I was never meant to carry. And I need to come back to Jesus because I'm weary and I'm tired yet again. And Jesus still says, come. And he will make that exchange with me one more time. And he'll walk with me one more time till I have to come back and say, I did it again. And then he'll make the exchange with me one more time. And he'll walk with me one more time. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Let's pray together. Father God, we're so grateful that in the book of Hebrews, that we understand that when Jesus came, he took on the fullness of humanity. That means he took on everything that it was to be us. And that means that, God, that you are so intimately aware of our human frailties, of our human weaknesses, of our human busyness, of our human overwhelmedness. And God, I thank you that in the face of all of these things that we can even inflict on ourselves, God, I thank you that your response to us isn't suck it up. Your response to us isn't, yeah, I've been there, it's tough, hey. Your response to us isn't, let me tell you a story about what this looks like. But God, I thank you that your response to us is, my son, my daughter, was never meant to be this way. Let me help you. Let me take your weight. God, you tell us to cast our cares on you, and you will give us this yoke that is easy and this burden that is light. God, I pray that you would help us to put down the weight that we can't possibly carry. To put down the weight and the fears, the worries, the expectations, maybe even the realities of the world that we live in. God, may we put them down. And may we take up your yoke, which is easy, and your burden, which is light. In fact, church, right now, I just want to give us a chance to respond to this, because I think that for many of us, this is a reality in where we live, that I might be speaking to you exactly in your world, and you may feel like, I want that. And sometimes in our lives and in our relationship with God, it's one thing to say, and just in our heart, and there's nothing wrong with it, but to say just in our heart, God, that's me he's praying for. God, help me. But there can be a moment of strength that comes from an actual response to say, God, yes, that's me. And so I'm going to invite you, if that's you, with all our heads closed or heads bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, would you just slip your hand up and just say, God, that's me. God, I'm carrying. And once your hand is up, you can put it back down. There's no need to hold them up. But you just, God, I'm carrying more weight than I know how to carry. And I'm doing more than I know how to do. God, would you make this exchange with me? And God's response to you today is, come. And he's willing to make that change. And so, God, we thank you that we are not called to run ourselves into the ground working for you. We're not called to live our lives running ourselves into the ground. But God, as we read earlier, that as we work for you, as we spend time in your presence, you have called us to rise, or you have promised us that we would rise up on wings like eagles. We would walk and not grow weary. We would run and not grow faint. And so, God, I pray for each one here that is growing tired and weary and faint. God, would you exchange their yoke for your yoke, which is easy, and your burden, which is light. God, thank you for your love, your care, and your provision for us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Tell me how much hurt can a heart take?
Thanks again for being a part of this message from Hillside Church. We pray that God was able to speak to you through what was shared. We're so grateful to be able to share God's word with our church community and family, and that includes you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hillside Airdrie. You can contact us through email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca, or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca and click on Contact Us from the main menu, or you can find our pastoral team contact by clicking on Our Pastors from the Our Church drop-down menu. Our vision for everyone that shares in Hillside Church is that they would know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power in their lives. And we pray this message ministered to you. At Hillside Church, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go.
I got 10 and 2 on a two-tone, 2 lanes of freedom. Singing, Jesus, take the wheel. Now I know what she was feeling. I feel it too. When the storm rolls in and the sky won't quit crying, and you've lost more tears than you thought you could ever lose. Oh, I swear somewhere out there the sun is somewhere shining. So drive, baby, drive, baby, drive till it shines on you. And with the rain, drive till it shines on you, and leave the rain in the rear view, and leave the rain.